podcast, Biblical Question. We are excited you've taken time out of your day to listen to our podcast. For more information about us, you may visit our website at biblicalquestion.com. We will tell you the web address again at the show's end. We encourage you to open your Bible and follow along as we study the Bible. Now here is your host, Joseph.
Well, hello there, and thank you for downloading our podcast. I'm certainly excited and honored, blessed that you have done so. I know there's many other podcasts available, but you've chosen us. I also know that life can be busy and really time-consuming, and I am glad that you've taken time to want to know God a little better, study His Word. And I please ask that you would pray for this ministry continuously as we pray for all of our listeners and those who are struggling throughout the world because of their faith in Christ being persecuted. Today we're going to continue to look at Peter the Apostle. And so if you have a Bible, I would encourage you to please open it and follow along as we will be in 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'm kind of enjoying this. I've had several good comments about the study of Peter. Some people don't like a series, but I know for me it sure simplifies life because I already know what I need to talk about, what I need to study for the sermons or podcasts, whatever the occasion brings me. And so we're going to continue to today in this podcast looking at 1 Peter chapter 1. Of course, Peter is an apostle. Jesus had taught Peter and called him to strengthen the faith of Christians in his day and time, especially during times of trial. You know, we've kind of talked about this a little bit last week, and of course, I've always talked about it throughout other podcasts. Christians will have trials. There's going to be hard times. It's just part of living on this planet. Does it mean that being a Christian, you're going to have an easy walk and be extremely wealthy, lots of money, fancy cars and homes? That Christianity doesn't guarantee any of that. One thing Christianity does guarantee is persecution. And persecution can come in many forms. Obviously, it could mean you could become a martyr for your faith. That's one extreme. The other is people make fun at you at school or work or kind of whisper about you behind their back. But, you know, Jesus, I would say, I take great comfort in this. You know, that's what blessings will come for us in the future. Of eternal life with Jesus. So I'm not saying those things are easy. I don't know that it was easy to go to the cross either, to be mocked and scourged and slapped around. And Jesus did not have an easy time on this planet, and neither did any of the prophets. Moses certainly did not have an easy time either. And neither did any of the apostles. Most of them were martyred. I think there's only really one exception to that thought, and that's the apostle John. So Peter not only affirms the blessings to Christians, but he provides some instructions for living with God while patiently waiting for the appearance of Jesus. And again, this is something that the first century Christian church really thought that Jesus was going to return in their lifetime. They really believed that. Many of them quit their jobs, sold their businesses, and really became almost, I think, leeches, sucking the church for everything that they could financially so they could eat and pay their rent. In fact, Paul would tell them, go back to work. You don't work, you don't eat, type of idea. So the letters Peter are, I think, very important to us even today. They have meaning to us, and there's applications for us as well. As Christians, we live in trying times. And, you know, Jesus could appear before the podcast is even over. He may not appear for who knows how long, but He has said and promised He will return. He just didn't tell us when. So far we've learned from 1 Peter that God can call ordinary people like Peter, like you, like me, to do extraordinary things for God. You know, last week, I think we talked a little bit about Christians and all the eternal blessings from God through Jesus, who died on a cross, was buried, and rose from the dead to save us from our sins. And, you know, there's people I'm around that at work don't believe that Jesus really died, that he faked his death, or there was a substitute person. You know, that's really all hogwash. There's no evidence for that whatsoever. The people are just simply living in denial or do not want to accept who Jesus really is. Of course, God does give them that right to believe or not to believe. There are just consequences, I believe, on Judgment Day for all of that. And so, you know, I enjoy watching nature shows. But the one thing that they always bring up is they try to remove the Creator God from those shows. And it really always, almost always breaks my heart when it's very obvious. You know, so talking about evolution and whatnot. The simple thing is, occasionally they'll say, we just don't know why, and they'll explain whatever it is they're struggling to explain away, and they really can't completely explain away creation, as much as they might try. So, again, open your Bibles and let us continue to learn through God in His Word and what Peter actually wrote down for us to know and do this. So starting in verse 10 of chapter 1, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. Verse 12, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels longed to look into these things. Verse 13, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus is revealing in his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, to be holy in all you do. Verse 16, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. So Peter, again, he continues to talk about salvation because every person has sinned against God. Every person is destined for eternal judgment. And unless you're saved through faith in Jesus, what do we read about in this salvation? In verses 10 through 12 here. Well, the prophet spoke in verse 10 about this salvation to come. Prophets, of course, were called by God prior to the birth of Christ on earth. And we can read about them when what we call the Old Testament. I think there's also an encouragement here that God gave us prophets who wrote the Old Testament, laid the foundation for the reality of God's greatest gift as salvation through Jesus. What did these prophets do to be successful? Well, again, here in verse 10, they searched intently with the greatest care about God. And that's what we need to be doing, just really focused on searching out God, His words and His desires, and who He is and what He wants for us. In verse 11, notice here, they believed in what God said, and they proclaimed it. So, you know, the message that they are repeating, God had already told them what to say. And obviously, I think it's very clear that they believed it or they would not have repeated it. So, Again, how can we say this? And so you see, these prophets knew that they were talking about the King Messiah. They believed that Jesus, first of all, would suffer. Many Israelites of old did not. We've talked about that as well. Even today, the Jewish people still don't believe in a suffering Messiah. But God's prophets who truly believed spoke and wrote down the seemingly contradicting truth about a king who would suffer. And as you look back into the Old Testament times, if you claimed to speak for God and were found wrong, you were killed, you were stoned. Prophets of old who spoke about the suffering a Messiah really risked their lives for you and me to see this prophecies that would be fulfilled through Jesus. And then in verse 12, they served others, really, rather than themselves. How special were these prophets to God? Again, if you look at the end of verse 12, you would see this interesting statement. Why God would insert the statement into this passage, you know? Angels are powerful beings, but they still marveled at what God does through and for sinful people. There are angels around us, I believe, right now, and they are watching us with this curiosity. How is our worship of God in the sight of angels when we go to worship services on Sunday morning or meet in small groups in people's homes? That's very popular around the world, obviously, including here in the United States. I think also God sees us more special than the angels. You know, the angels that God created were all together in heaven. They actually got to see God face to face. They know they were there, the fallen angels. I think this is why God doesn't save them or send them a Messiah, simply because they were there and they completely rejected. You and I both have not physically laid our eyes upon the throne room. And we are living by faith and believing that this is all true, that God does exist, His plan of salvation exists. We're believing what the prophets had wrote down, that God had actually sent this message through them. So when we see the word in the Bible, we ask, what is the therefore, therefore? I mean, the word therefore in the Bible, this is really a hinge word. Before the word are truths, and afterward, there are responses. I mean, Paul the Apostle wrote a lot. Therefore, verse 13, you know, we noted the encouraging of the truth here. God's blessed Christians. He is blessing us with eternal life through Jesus, okay? And God gave Christians prophets, and Christians, followers of God, are more special than angels. And, you know, there were people even in the Old Testament Jewish times obviously believed who Jesus was and converted out of their Judaism. Peter would be one of those who believed that the Messiah was Jesus. You know, in verse 13, the last part of that, you know, minds are alert and to be fully sober. You know, how often do our minds wander or not really fully sober or have this clear mind that we've allowed the world, and like I was using this example of these creation animal type shows, where they inject evolution. You know, are we allowing ourselves to fall into the trap of the science of this day or this world, or are we allowing our mind to fall in line with God in His Scripture? You know, this alert, to be sober for God, can have, again, several meanings, but with this last part of this verse 13 is saying, consistently look for Jesus' appearing. And then in verses 14 through 16, it just simply states to be holy. Simply do not do anything evil. Don't go looking for it. Don't bathe in it. Don't encourage it. I struggle with this. I mean, as the church, we don't even speak up against evil. We just say, well, they have a right to live the way they want. Well, that's a true statement. God gives them those freedoms. But that does not stop us or restrict us from speaking out, saying, thus saith the Lord. I mean, just like the prophets of old. Now look at Jeremiah. People were worshiping idols. There was lots of idolatry going on. And Jeremiah spoke out against that. He even would call the king out and say, hey, no, worship the one and only true God. And so, do we do that? Do we speak up against sinful lifestyles, actions, thoughts, whatever? You know, we as Christians, we really truly are loved by God and simply must not do anything evil. How often, again, do we really check ourselves out in what we're doing? Are we really living by the Word of God? And really, when we fall, because we will and we do, pick up our feet, get back up off of our face from falling down and ask God for forgiveness and turn back toward God and start walking toward that light. That light, of course, being Christ. You know, I remember Mother's Day message sermon I gave years ago. And, you know, a lot of people think that Mother's Day was started by, you know, the Hallmark cards or the local store to make more money. But Mother's Day was really started in a Christian church. And sadly, like many things which was started to have a godly type idea, it becomes very secular. It is a way for lots of people to make lots of money. And I think that's true with really any holiday. Even Christians complaining that Mother's Day hurt many women because they can't have children or they lost children. But how do we handle all of this? And of course, the answer really is biblically. We need to turn to God in His Word and how to deal with that. God's Word tells us to honor mothers. That is a commandment. And so we will try and do that for mothers even today. The Christian mothers, as well as fathers, are to be godly leaders and teach their children. So in a moment, we need to take time and we need to pray for our parents, our moms, and our fathers. I think we need to encourage our children to follow the example of God's prophets, as we just heard here in Peter's, we read about. I think moms are incredibly successful when they do their godly calling as a mother in raising their children and teaching their children about who God really is. I think that they need to search God intently with His care and believe the Bible as it is written, as it's proclaimed, and this idea of agape love. I think every parent should have that agape love toward their children. And that's really a hard love. You know, I see lots of families and parents around work there. They just really spoil the child rotten with all kinds of things. I know my parents do listen to this podcast occasionally. They would have never bought me a $1,500 cell phone. You know, my dad would have gave me a dime at the time. It's what it cost to go to a pay phone. Or he would tell me at school if I needed to call home to go to the office, have the principal call him. You know, obviously I survived, and so we just sometimes – We need to raise children in a godly manner. And my parents really did do that to the best of their abilities. They made sure we were in church and that we prayed every night before bed and so forth. And in all this, I think for all Christians to be successful, for God. But critical leaders like parents, you know, moms and dads, they also need to be followers of God and doers of God's word in order to truly be successful. Because being a parent, it's easy to conceive children and bring them into the world. It's a whole nother thing to raise them the way God wants you to raise them. And to say, well, you know, they got to make up their own mind. Well, at some point, they probably will make up their own mind. But that should not be an excuse not to raise them with the intentions of them knowing who God is, why you go to church, why you believe what you believe, and allowing them to read and study their Bibles and do church activities with other Christian people. You know, you should hope that your children someday will grow up and marry and have children of their own and raise them in the church, you know, to reproduce yourselves, your children, and your children's children, and so on. I think that's a great blessing for parents and grandparents to know that the next generation is being faithful to God and to Jesus and to their best abilities. I think to be successful as Christians, I think we need to ask ourselves continuously, is what I'm doing, is it ungodly or is it godly? And that's, I think, what Peter is trying to strive here. So many of us live as though Jesus will never return. We say we believe that Jesus is returning, but our lifestyles and our actions might really say something very different. And I believe we're all guilty of that. There's days and times in our lives where things just don't flow the way that they should be flowing. And so, again, I know I say it a lot. Life on earth is difficult. It's easy to get caught up into worldly-type activities and to believe what the media says about everything, or the school teacher has to be right, and the parents are pitted against by, you know, lots of times here in this area, the school versus the parent. And the parents sometimes feel like they're fighting a losing battle against schools. And we need to take our schools back if that's the case. I mean, we need to run for school board. We need to vote for people who are going to be on the school board and hire teachers that will allow parents to be parents, just to teach the children the necessities of life, how to read, write, add, subtract, you know, that type of thing, and keep their personal religious or non-religious beliefs out of the classroom. And so, you know, I know elections are coming up soon. Many states will be doing their primaries for the presidential elections and so on. And I hope that if you're going to go vote, that you would truly vote for somebody who is going to stand up for your Christian values of thus saith the Lord, that you can dig into their history a little bit, of their lifestyle, their voting record if they're already in office, and how they vote on religious, moral type issues. And so I know there's many people who don't believe that are the forefathers of the United States were even Christian, but there's so much evidence that shows that they truly believed the God of the Bible and was really a great influence when they would write the laws of the land. So where do we stand on abortion, same-sex marriage, drug use, security of a nation? You know, God says we have those rights to protect ourselves as a nation. And are we doing that? Are we doing everything to protect our children from fentanyl and other harsh drugs and alcohol abuse and addictions to gambling or whatever? And so Where are we at? Does our vote say Christian or does it say worldly? Does our actions and our voices at work say God-like, God actions? Or does it say, I'm just like everybody else, stepping on whoever I need to step on to make a better paycheck or make them look really bad, co-workers, students, it doesn't matter. The application's there for whatever you're at in your life. And so I hope that you'll continue to ominously listen to the podcast, tell others about us as we go through this thought process that Peter has and what he wrote down. Is what I'm doing ungodly or godly? Are we in times of trial? Are we just searching and waiting for God to help us through that? And that doesn't mean we sit idly by. I believe that we need to be moving as well. We need to be doing what God wants us to do to get us through the hard times and through the trials. You know, hopefully it will make us a better person, help us in our faith and belief in who God is, and those who are watching. Because believe me, you can say you're a Christian, and your friends and neighbors, family, coworkers are watching and listening. Have you put your money where your mouth is, as an old saying goes? Again, I want to thank you for listening. I'm certainly glad that you've taken time out of your day and listened to the podcast to its end. May God bless you, and may He always have the glory.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. Be sure to hit the like button and follow us on your podcasting app. Please check out our website at biblicalquestion.com. All one word, all lowercase. In addition, we have a prayer request page, a way of contacting us, a statement of faith, and other resources for our listeners. Do you have a Bible question you would like answered on a future podcast or prayer request? We would be honored to hear from you and add your prayer request to our list so others may pray for you. Subscribe to our newsletter and follow us on our social media accounts. Again, that is biblicalquestion.com. Thank you, and may He have the glory.